Thank you, Lewis. I appreciate it very much. And it is a joy to be with you today. And I am Rusty Ricketts and my wife Sharon here. We live down in Cumming. And so we share some of the most beautiful parts of the world right here in North Georgia with you. There's been a lot of times we've traveled this road during apple season, but never on the weekends. No, we learned early, don't ever get on this road on the weekend during apple season. Those crazy people from Atlanta will kill you. I mean, they'll run you off the road and make applesauce out of you, for the truth. I don't doubt it. I really don't doubt it. But it is a joy to be with you. And Lewis, thank you for the invitation. Ron is a very good friend of mine at the school, a fine colleague. And as a matter of fact, you might be interested to know he is actually working on a PhD in counseling right now. So he's now, for those of you who think you might be a little too old for school, Ron is looking at 60 years old getting a PhD. That's pretty good. But of course, like all of us, we're just trying to follow what the Lord wants us to do and how He wants us to do it, and when He wants us to do it, and when those doors open up, that's what you got to go through. And I think you're experiencing a little bit of that right now. You have an opportunity here at the church to buy this facility and some other things, and so I commend you and I encourage you to follow through that door. Just keep praying and asking the Lord for His supply. And the Lord, He is our stronghold. He is our strength. And thank you, Mike, for putting all that good music up today and playing for us. Now, what do? I am the Associate Professor of Leadership at Luther Rice. I'm on the university side of the school. It's actually Luther Rice University and Seminary. And having pastored, well, actually, my pedigree goes like this. I graduated from UGA, went out to Southwestern Seminary and crammed a Master of Arts in Divinity degree. It's a three-year program, but I crammed it into four. And got out and pastored in a little church, Stonecrest Baptist Church, on Arnold Mill Road in Woodstock, if you've ever been out that way. Helped start that church. And then the Lord called us to Cumming, where I pastored for 12 and a half years, and then transitioned out of that into academia, where I've now been teaching at Luther Rice for the past 10 years. And, you know, what can I say? It's been a wonderful and crazy and wild ride, as you can probably attest yourself. Well, today what I want to do, being a teacher, and by the way, I appreciate your already good response, because if you talk back to me, I preach a lot faster. That's usually the response I get from that as well. So, being a good teacher, not a good teacher, but a teacher who tries to be good, I would like to start at Jesus 101 with you today. Now, just to give you a little background on the message that you're going to hear, and that is, this message started in a deer stand. My dad bought about 200 acres over in Warren County, and that's where I hail from, if you know where that is. And so I was shimmied up a tree in my climber stand, freezing to death like we all do during deer season. And since there is no deer on our property, I was probably dozing and sleeping quite a bit. Well, you know, it's interesting, after you fall asleep in a deer stand, I don't know if any of you are deer hunters or not, almost every time when I wake up, there's a deer under me. I don't know what it is. Maybe my snoring sounds like a grunt or something to them. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, I'm freezing to death, but I'm watching God's earth wake up around me. And that's actually the best part. Of course, it's turkey season now, and I haven't got a chance to go yet. But the Lord willing, I will. Anyway, so I'm just sitting there watching the world wake up around me. And, you know, it's one of those strange questions in life. You just ask yourself a question, and you go, what is eternal life? And you think, well, that's an easy question. What is eternal life? Everybody knows what eternal life is. And I'll bet you guys know John chapter 3, verse 16. I'll bet everybody knows that verse by heart, don't they? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Everlasting life. Everlasting, eternal, the same root word. we're talking about everlasting life. So God is so loved the world that He gave us His Son so that whoever believed, and if we have believed today, then there is one thing that we have. We have, what's the word? Eternal life. Now that's a great thing to know, but you know, everybody has their own idea about what eternal life is. I've talked in front of a lot of different people in a lot of different venues, and some of the times I've talked in front of young people. Now, when you talk in front of young people, they have a great response because they respond back in all kinds of crazy ways. Usually the response I get, Mike, when I talk to young people and I say, "So you tell me, what is eternal life?" I usually get this insightful response. Life eternal. You know, how can you define? You know, when you give a test, you ask a question, define this term, and they define it with the same word. You can't define a word using the same word. I'm sorry. It's a big fat goose egg on that question, all right? So, you know, what is eternal life? Life eternal. All right, well, what is that? Well, living forever. I said, now, is that really what it is? So you think through this whole process of eternal life and you think, okay, eternal life. You've got that word in front of life. It's called eternal. And now, how has God created human beings? God has created human beings for eternity. Okay. So as a human being, are you aware that you are an eternal creature? Whether you know Jesus or not, you have an eternity to spend somewhere. So you see, the process, the key in eternal life is not the eternal. In fact, my wife, bless her. Now, I told you a little bit about my academic pedigree. I'm going to brag on her for just a minute, okay? This woman is brilliant. She graduates early from high school, goes to the University of Georgia, and gets a degree in music. Upon graduating with a degree in music, you know who? What you? I took one math course at UGA, Math 100, barely passed. All right? Can I get a witness from anybody else here? All right. So, you know, you get a chance to take electives when you're in college, and they say, just take what you like. I took basket weaving and cow thumping and, you know, different things like that at UGA. It's just a matter, you know, you can take anything there just to get through those electives. My dear wife took math electives. Oh, what are you taking this semester for an elective? Euclidic geometry. Calculus. I can barely pronounce those things, much less know what they are. So she graduated not only with an undergraduate degree in music education, she graduated in one year with a master's in math education. Taught at Etowah High School over in Woodstock, in case any of y'all were over in that area. And now she tutors math and geometry and all kinds of crazy folks. Come throw up into our house, and I hear them over on the table going, "Yes, the XY intersect is the hypotenuse of the third degree of the intersect," or something like this. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Do you toot math? We got a couple of tutors in here. You know what I'm saying? They'll be tooting in them in just a minute. All right? I'm teaching and tooting. It's great. Anyway, I stay clear of the kitchen when the kids are there. It gives me a headache. But you know, when you think about these things in depth, and that's basically what you're doing with education, you're just thinking things and thinking through things and thinking through things. And so thinking through eternal life, we've already decided, okay, eternal life, it's not about the eternal side because everybody's eternal. But when it comes to geometry, I figured this out. You know, human beings, this is geometry class. Y'all ready to go back to fourth grade geometry? Come on. Take me back, dear Lord, to the days I failed geometry. Are you with me? All right, so tell me something. Who knows what a ray is? The lady, the tutor in the back. And the tutor, and okay, nobody else knows. That's the end of the lesson. See y'all next week. Okay, bye. No, seriously. A ray is not a line, because a line is actually, in geometric terms, it is one of those lines, but a line in geometry has arrows on the end of it, because theoretically, it never ends. A ray, however, has a point of the beginning, and it continues out and has a pointy end on it because it continues for eternity. See, human beings are not lines. God's lines, because there is no beginning and no end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He has always been, always will be. He's the only line in the universe. Everything else is a ray. We have a beginning point, but we don't have an end. We're not a segment. XY intercept. Okay, we're not a segment. We're a ray. You have an eternity. Got it? Okay, very good. So, with that said, eternal life has nothing to do with having an eternity, because everybody you meet today has an eternity. Now, some people will say the eternal life's all about heaven. We sang about heaven. And certainly heaven is a part of that equation, but folks, eternal life is not heaven, or else Jesus would have said, I came to give you heaven. Now, does He prepare a place for us in heaven? Yes, but notice how He words that. I prepare a place for you in heaven. Heaven is a place, it's a distinct place. By the way, heaven and hell are two distinct places, both of which have been created by God, and that is the place where you live out eternal life. So we can't define eternal life as heaven. All right? Because everybody's got their own idea about heaven. I mean, I have my ideas about heaven. I'm a golfer. I like to play golf. Playing golf in heaven would be great. I think it looked just like the Masters. And since everything is perfect, I'd birdie every hole. Maybe eagle, 15. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. 350-yard drives. Outdrive Tiger. Don't know if Tiger's going to be there. We're working on that, though. Okay? I'm sorry. I don't know. The Lord knows who's His. But you know, Tiger's on this Buddha kick, so we gotta pray for Tiger. So anyway, and then I thought, you know, it'd be great being an outdoorsman. My mansion, you know, what does my mansion look like? My mansion, if there is indeed a mansion up there, I'd have a room solely afforded to all the animals that I'd killed while I was in heaven. See, in heaven being a perfect place, the animals would prompt out there like a platypus. And then you would take your gun, and it doesn't matter, 1,000-yard shot, you'd hit it perfect every time. And then you'd take it and mount their heads on the hall. And then I had somebody come up and spoil my dream. I said, Pastor, nothing's dead in heaven. I said, well, then we'll just cut their live heads off, put them on the wall, and then they can tell everybody. I remember when that guy killed me out here, shot me, and give testimony to. That's not going to happen. I know that's not going to happen. So eternal life. What is eternal life? Okay, that's a good question. I'm glad it's on the screen here. So eternal life is not heaven. Eternal life is not eternity. Then what is it? You see, the key in eternal life is not in the eternal or the place. It's in the life. Now I've got good news for you. You don't even have to take the professor's word for what is eternal life. Because Jesus and His word make it pretty easy. Because Jesus actually defines eternal life for us. Let's take a look at it in our scripture. John chapter 17, we're going to start with verse 1. In John chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible says this. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up His eyes to heaven, He said. Now notice, this is Jesus praying right after the Lord's Supper. He's going through the Kidron Valley up to the Garden of Gethsemane, where He'll pray and be betrayed and then be crucified. So this is what we call the high priestly prayer in John 17. And He says, these things Jesus spoke, and lifting up His eyes to heaven, He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that the Son may glorify Thee. Watch this. Even as Thou gavest Him authority over all mankind, that to all whom Thou hast given Him, He may give eternal life. And here it is, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That answers my question. What is eternal life? In a nutshell, it is knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. See, something in all of our being saved. Oh, you got to be saved. We're saved from sin. We're saved from this. We're saved from ourselves. But folks, the gift that we're given is the gift of eternal life. And what is eternal life? In a nutshell, it's knowing God and Jesus Christ. Say it with me. Knowing God and Jesus Christ. What is it that Jesus came and gave every person who believes upon Him? He gave us the capacity to know God and Jesus Christ. You see, prior to Christ, we can know all about God. We can read the Bible. In fact, some very intelligent people have read the Bible from cover to cover many times, and they've studied it over and over and over again, but they have yet to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so therefore there is one thing that we know about them. With all of their intelligence, they don't know God. And yet there's someone who's never graduated from school, has never gotten a high school diploma, has just simply been just barely been able to read, and that person has been preached the gospel, been taught the gospel, has received the Lord Jesus Christ, and that person, with all their lack of intelligence and book learning and university training, that person knows God. Isn't that amazing? You see, because God is no respecter of persons. He really doesn't care what you know. What He cares about is who you know. And my question to you this morning is, do you know Him? See, when you come to Christ, prior to coming to Him, you don't know God. You might know about Him, but you don't know Him. There's no possibility for you to have a relationship with God because sin, and each one of us has sinned. Sin, the wages of sin is death. Death is always pictured as separation. And so we are separated from God. We're separated from that relationship with Him. We are separated from God. And we need someone to come and bridge that gap. And it was Jesus Christ. For God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, so that all of us who believed upon the Son might have new and vibrant and living and eternal life. And that is a relationship with God the Father. Let's rejoice today that in Christ, if you're here and you've trusted Christ as your Lord and you know Him to be your Savior, there is one thing that you have an advantage of over every person on this planet who does not know Christ, and that is that you know God. And He knows you. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus looked at His disciples one time and He told that story about, "Depart from Me, for I never knew you." It's that relationship component that God gives us. What is eternal life? It's knowing God and Jesus Christ. What does that do for us every day? Very quickly. What that allows us to do is to put into perspective what happens in life. What do we mean? What I mean by that is, when you look at something... By the way, has anything ever happened to you or happened to someone else or maybe a loved one that you just don't understand why that happened? Yeah, I mean, there are lots of things that I don't understand why God allows to happen and why things happen like that. Well, folks, this helps me to know that the gift that I've been given is the fact that even though I don't understand what's happened, I do get to know that God can reveal Himself and let me know Him in that process. I can know that. I can get to know Him better. I may not like my circumstance. I may not like anything about where I am right now. But this one thing I do know. I know that I can know God there. And it doesn't matter if I'm emotionally up or emotionally down. It doesn't matter if I'm flush with money or if I'm poor as a pauper. It really doesn't matter, because in each and every circumstance of life, I know, because I've trusted Christ, there's one thing I know about my situation, and that is I can know God here. And then I have to make sure that my heart is satisfied with Him. And is that enough? And many times, I have to admit to you, come on, I'd rather have God plus something. I'd rather have God and a little bit of joy. I'd rather have God and a little bit of money, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But sometimes you're not. Is He enough? Well, friends, for us to experience the life that God has given to us in Christ Jesus, God's enough. God's enough. And the beauty of eternal life, and I'll leave you with this. The beauty of eternal life is you don't have to wait till you die to get it. Because in the moment that you believe and are born again by the Spirit of the living God, you are given the gift of eternal life. And life takes on a totally new perspective. So my question to you this morning is, do you know God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent? If you don't, then today's the day that I would encourage you to humble your heart and say, you know, I am the sinner. And I'm trusting Christ. And my friends, if you are a believer, and somehow we've changed our focus, we've moved away from really looking to God and finding meaning in life through Him rather than meaning in life through the newspaper or through my feelings or through my circumstance, then, my friends, my encouragement to you today is for you to get before God and say, God, sorry, I'm out of focus. Focus me back on You, because You are the way, the truth. And what? Father, thank You that You're the life. And thank You that through Christ we can experience Your life. Thank You that when we trust Christ, we can know You and Jesus Christ, Your Son. And then through the power of Your Holy Spirit, we can interpret the events of life through You. And we pray this thankfully in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike, you going to introduce the song?